Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Well, good morning and welcome to a spectacular Saturday to start off your Labor Day weekend. Boy, it's looking out the window, it's wonderful. It's supposed to be great today and tomorrow, maybe even Monday. The last summer-like holiday of the year, which seems very strange. But anyway, there's lots of golf being played. There are lots of issues out there in golf that are being discussed, and we'll take on some of those this morning as we make our way through the 8 o'clock hour. I am Mike Dudorich. I'm your host. And I don't know how you see it, but it sure looks like we are on a run on the PGA Tour of some pretty spectacular golf. And, those guys play great, at least some of them do, every week. There's always somebody who's shooting 63 or 64 and winning, that's on tour. Well, the last few weeks have been pretty remarkable, the way I see it. You remember the PGA Championship, Colin Muraikara, won that in a very surprising fashion. He wasn't on the short list of guys who were expected to win, but he did, played very well down the stretch on Sunday. Then we went to the Northern Trust, the first of the playoff events. Dustin Johnson goes 30 under par, which is just, it makes you shake your head. Then last week, how about that battle between Johnson and John Rahm? Two big hitters who slugged it out for 3 days. And then in the last hour of the event, they put on a putting show like has been rarely seen before. And that just leads up to this week's battle at Eastlake, where the best 30 players, as judged by FedEx Cup points and advancing through those playoffs, are playing at Eastlake Golf Club, which is one of the most historic that we have in the United States. And they're at it again. Look who's on top of the leaderboard: Dustin Johnson, John Rahm. Rahm shot 65 yesterday. Dustin Johnson shot 67. Don't forget about Justin Thomas, who shot 4 under yesterday. He's 11 back. And, the names are as you would expect or hope, maybe. And certainly the PGA Tour likes the looks of this top 5 or 6 on the leaderboard: Rory McIlroy, Abraham Anser, Xander Schauffele, and Pittsburgh native Brendan Todd. They're all within 7 shots at the moment. But because of the change in schedule, this is being played from Friday through Monday. And that's the way, the last, I don't know how many years, but on the regular PGA Tour schedule, that's the way the event in Boston was always played. Friday through Monday, and Labor Day finish, big audience, they decided to go on with it this way. Plus, you know, they got other tournaments to get squeezed in here before it's too late, and we'll talk about those, including the U.S. Open that is coming right up as well. So it's going to be a fun 3 days in amidst everything else that we do. It'll be a lot of fun trying trying to figure out what kind of event this is going to be. Are Johnson and Rahm going to just stay there and beat on each other till somebody gives up? Or is somebody else going to come up through the ranks and make a serious run at this title and a serious run at the money that's waiting out there for somebody on Monday evening? And there's been other things, too. I meant to mention this last week. You remember that Sofia Popov, the 27-year-old German golfer who won the AIG Women's British Open, even though she was ranked 304th in the women's rankings coming into that event. She was a late addition, and there was a bit of a firestorm because a winner of the British Open gets a 5-year exemption on the LPGA. She didn't get that because she was a non-member. So she only got a 2-year exemption, which is pretty good in itself, but it set off some protests, even though it's clearly in the LPGA rules, and Commissioner Mike Wan responded to the complaints, saying, hey, it's right there. You can see it. We're not going to make any change, even though this is a wonderful story, and you know, people think she's deserving of more, but that's the way it's going to be, and that's the way it was. But it's typical of the way things are. If somebody doesn't like something, they're going to protest it. Or, well, we have returned. Oh, we had a slight technical issue, but it has been fixed. And I am back. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about this week was I got the great privilege to play Oakmont this week. And we played in this group of guys and we have done this every year for several years. Longtime friends. One of the guys does not live in the area anymore, but he comes in for this every year. I think we've missed one time. So anyway, we played, and, you know, I started whining right away about I haven't played very much this year, not playing very well, and all I got were these furrowed brows and kind of nasty looks from the other three who thought I was sandbagging. Well, I showed them. But I did have two moments that these are the kind of moments where the old line comes in about, that's the kind of shot that will bring you back for more. Well, I had two of those. And as we all know, Oakmont is not a place for the faint of heart or for mid to high handicap golfers. It is very difficult. And even when it's a little wet and a little slow, like it was the other day after the recent rains, it's still a bear. So I'm struggling along, and we get to 10. That's the long par 4 down the hill with one of the most devilish greens on the course. And I hit my tee shot a little bit left into the rough, and then all I could do was hack it back down the fairway a little bit. And I had 120 maybe yards, something like that. and I took my trusty 9-iron, and I hit the best shot, perhaps, of all my golf this year, which hasn't been all that much by my standards. So I'm watching this, and this ball is not moving off the stick. It is right on it, and it hits in front of it and rolls directly past the hole and stops 2 feet from going in. So I felt pretty good about that. And I said, hey, whatever else happens, it's okay. I had that shot. That was good. So we play 11, 12, get over to 13, the little-ish, quote-unquote, par 3 that's uphill. The green is a bowl-shaped, and it's devilish as well. You got to be on the right side of the pin, or when it's hard and fast, you could easily putt it off the green. But it wasn't hard and fast. And so I hit my club, I believe it was a 7-iron, and I flushed it. Hit it so good that I couldn't follow it, but everybody said, that looks pretty good. So as we drive up there, or ride up there, two of the guys had already walked up to the green, and they were just looking at me. And I said, what? They said, look where you are. So I walk up on the green, and I couldn't believe it. And I sure wish I had gotten a picture, but I didn't. My ball was no more than 3 inches from the cup. 3 inches. They were actually very nice instead of the barbs that normally fly around. And you probably have heard me whine about not having a hole in one yet. And I came that close to getting it. If you're going to have just one hole in one, if you get that at Oakmont, that's a pretty nice little place to have it. But I didn't get one, but I made two, and it was just a great deal of fun. And everybody knows that feeling of, if you're not having a great day and you're not hitting the ball all that well, when you hit a couple shots like that, it makes you feel like you actually know what you're doing out there. And that's exactly the way I felt. So I wanted to share that good news with you. And if I had made that hole-in-one, the entire show would have been about that shot. So consider yourself lucky. All right, it's time for our first break of the day. We're going to talk about what's going on tour. And we're also going to talk about a little bit about local golf here in the last segment of the day. But coming up next is Gary Van Sickle, our local guy who was a one-time Sports Illustrated writer and now writes for Morning Read. And he's going to be joining us after this break. We'll have a 2020 sports update and pay some bills, and we'll be back. You're listening to The Golf Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.